Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Smother me with your kisses. Your spirit kiss divine. Smother me with your breath. The breath of your Holy Spirit. With your spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, your saving, keeping, forgiving, embracing, infinite love. I drink them in like the sweetest wine. God wants you to be intoxicated with Him. He wants each one of us to be drunk with Him. Not just in a meeting, but in our lives. He wants you to be intoxicated. Drunk in His love. Drunk in His spirit kisses, an intimacy where His breath is just breathing deep into the very fiber of your being, that we're overwhelmed with Him, intoxicated with Him. Drunk with love for Him as He is with us. He is intoxicated in His love for you and I. His saving, keeping, forgiving, embracing, infinite love. He breathes by His Spirit as He kisses, as He arms you with who He is, as He arms you with His love, as He arms you with Himself as He kisses, encounters, intoxicates each one of us by His Spirit. He wants us to drink of Him like the sweetest of wine. That you are satisfied in your inmost being with Him. With Him. That you'd be so intoxicated and satisfied with Him that there is nobody or anything else that captures your heart and your very being like He does. His heart after each one of us is one that longs for us to know Him in an intimate, life-giving, infinite caress of His love. Just be right in His throne room now. Be right in His throne room, right before His throne, with everything within you, just bow before Him. captured with him, caught up with him, in the intimacy of his embrace. His spirit kisses. We've heard over these last few weeks a number of messages about oil the shield, that shield of faith in our lives, about seeing the next generation raised up, about being people of light. We've heard over these last few weeks about be who I've called you to be, rise up. Move in this generation, be a people of light, walk in the light, live in the light. But right at the heart of that is an intimacy with the Father, where there's that spirit kiss. And the word kiss there is the word nashak. And the word nashak means to be armed. It's the same word as to kiss. It means to be armed. In our minds, it seems so opposite. The intimacy of a kiss, but yet it means to be armed. To be armed with love. To be armed with Him. And He's called us to be a people of faith or victory. People that overcome. People that see breakthroughs. People that rise up. People that move in Him and find our being in Him, and all of those things where we move with Him, we break through with Him. But the secret is that spirit kiss, that intimacy with Him. It's that being armed with Him, being armed in His love. It's the opposite in our minds, but yet that's how God works. The breath of His Spirit, the kiss of His Spirit arms us with Him in that intimacy, in that embrace, in that place of being intoxicated with Him, being overwhelmed with Him, being drunk in Him, being so passionate about Him, to know Him, to walk with Him, to find Him, to seek Him out and discover who He is in the intimacy, in the breath, in the kiss of who He is in our lives. And in that moment of intimacy, of relationship, there's an arming. There's a strength. You don't have to try and find a place of strength and a place of rising up. You don't have to try to be who you think you might need to be in the Spirit. I need to be this. I need to be that. I've got to rise up. I've got to do this. It flows from a place of intimacy. It flows from that spirit kiss, spirit breath, that place of intoxication, where you're overwhelmed, you're intoxicated with Him. You lose very control of your life, because in that moment of intoxication, you say, God, You be Lord. You have this temple of the Holy Spirit. You have this person. You have who I am. Just take control. Be Lord. Be who You want to be. Because when you're intoxicated, all your barriers go down. All your safety mechanisms kind of go down. Because when you're intoxicated, when you're drunk naturally, you have no inhibitions. But when you're intoxicated in the Spirit, you throw off every inhibition towards Him. And you say, Father, be who You want to be in me. I throw off every inhibition, everything that would cause fear or inability in my life. In that place of intoxication of Him, that place of intimacy, that kiss, that breath, there's total freedom, liberty. Because in that place of kiss, there's a place of perfect love. And in that place of perfect love, all fear is cast out. All inhibitions are thrown off. Everything that would seek to hold you back and hold you down is thrown off in that place. Every fear, every anxiety, every worry, every inhibition, anything that could hold you back. In that place, in that kind of relationship, in that flow of relationship with Him, in that flow of intoxication, in that place, in that flow of being overwhelmed, of of living drunk, of living given over to Him. That heart cry is, have your way, Father. Be who you want to be, Jesus. Jesus, you are awesome. You are mighty. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out. For your lovely name is flowing oil. Draw me into your heart and lead me out. We will run together into your cloud-filled chamber, or into your holy of holies. We will run away together into your holy of holies. This is the lover speaking to the King. This is us speaking to our Father. But then this is the bridegroom's response, the Father's response to you and I. Listen, my dearest darling, you are so beautiful. You are beauty itself to me. This is the Father speaking to each one of us this morning. Your eyes glisten with love, like gentle doves behind your veil. What devotion I see each time I gaze upon you. You are like a sacrifice ready to be offered. When I look at you, I see how I have taken my fruit and tasted, how you have taken my fruit and tasted my word. Your life has become clean and pure, like a lamb washed and newly shorn. You now show grace and balance with truth on display. What is he saying? As you're intoxicated with him, as we've been brought out of darkness and into light, we've been taken out of being unforgiven and into forgiveness, as we've been taken out of where we were before we knew him and into who we are in him. He says, you've now taken of my fruit and tasted of who I am. You've now become clean and pure, like a lamb washed and newly shorn. Like the lamb that was slain, the one that was given as a sacrifice on our behalf. Now you have received of my life, and now you show my grace and my truth on display in your life. Your lips are as lovely as Rahab's scarlet ribbon, speaking mercy, speaking grace. Because you have a new heart, a transformed heart, a transformed life. He says your lips are as lovely as Rahab's scarlet ribbon. That scarlet ribbon that hung out of Rahab's home in the walls of Jericho was so that when they went and invaded, when the walls came down, that was the only part of the wall that came down because of the scarlet ribbon. God showed mercy on her and her household, and they were rescued, they were saved. And God demonstrates his mercy in us by the power of his blood at work that is in us. And he says, your lips are as lovely as Rahab's scarlet ribbon. Your life drips with my blood. It drips with my mercy. It shows the magnitude of who I am. As you're intoxicated with me and my love in your life, my mercy flows like my blood flows in your life to show how gracious, how merciful, how forgiving, and the power of my love that is at work in you. And the words of your mouth are as refreshing as an oasis. This is God speaking over our lives. On one level, it seems too much that the Father would speak about us, speak to you and I in this way. But this is the heart of the King. This is the heart of the Father. This is the heart of the one who loves without measure, who loves in an unfailing way. This is how he sees you and I, clothed in him. Bathed in him. This is how he sees you and I, intoxicated with himself, with his love, with his life. Then he says, what pleasure you bring to me. What pleasure you bring to me. Some of us in here today, we struggle saying, well, God, my performance isn't good enough. I'm not quite there enough. I haven't done enough of this. And the Father's heart for you and I, the Father's heart is, what pleasure you bring me. What pleasure. When I look at you, I see your inner strength, so stately and strong. You are as secure as David's fortress. Your virtues and grace cause 1,000 famous soldiers to surrender to your beauty. Your pure faith and love rest over your heart as you nurture those who are yet infants. Every part of you is so beautiful, my darling. Perfect, your beauty without flaw within. Now you are ready, bride of the mountains, to come with me as we climb the highest peaks together. Come with me through the archway of trust. Come with me through the archway of trust. When you know somebody loves you, you trust them. We're speaking about being intoxicated with Him and Him being intoxicated with you and I, with an unfailing love. The Spirit kiss that arms us with Him and with His love. This is what it means to live in a place of rest with Him. It's what it means to live in the great rest, a place of rest where there's no striving. There's no striving to try and be somebody or be something. It's living in the rest of who He is, recognizing how He sees you and I. The heart that He has for you and I, the longing that He has for us to know Him in such an intimate, pure way. Then He says, this is amazing. We will look down from the crest of the glistening mounts and from the summit of our sublime sanctuary. There's a place of intimacy that is hard to describe to anybody else about what it is like to really know God. There's some things you can only really know by experiencing the reality of something. And there's words here expressed in the Song of Songs, how the Father's heart towards you and I, trying to express something in words that words really can't fully express. His heart towards you and I and our heart response back to Him. And yet there's something that we experience in God that there's nothing like knowing Him in an intimate way in the secret place. And He says, as we climb up the mountain with Him, as we go higher in Him, as we know Him, experience Him in a way that you can't necessarily describe to somebody else, say, you've just got to experience Him to fully realize and understand and know who He really is and what He's really like, to be intoxicated with Him. Then He says, we will look down from the crest of the glistening mounts and from the summit of our sublime sanctuary, a place of intimacy. But then He says, together we will wage war in the lion's den and in the leopard's lair as they watch nightly for their prey. That seems such a contradiction. Suddenly, one minute he's talking about intimacy, a kiss. He's talking about intoxication, coming up the mountain to be with Him. But then He talks about waging war. He talks about breakthroughs. He talks about victories. He's seeing the enemy overcome and things happening. We're his children. We're his sons and daughters. We're his bride. We're his household. We're his family. But we're his army. But yet God's army aren't just the people who are bombastic. They're not just the people who kind of rise up in faith and come on, we've got to be like this. You know, God's army are a people of intimacy. And in that intimacy of that Spirit kiss, his breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit, in that place of intimacy and in that place of kiss, there's a place where God says there's a rising up. There's a place of being armed in love. And we go to war together to overcome, to see breakthroughs, to see my kingdom advance. But it all flows from intimacy. This is him speaking to us still. For you reach into my heart. This is amazing what we're going to read now. This is God the Father, the Creator. This is his word now speaking to you and I. With one flash of your eyes, I am undone by your love. My beloved, my equal, my bride. You leave me breathless. I'm overcome by merely a glance from your worshipping eyes, for you have stolen my heart. This is the Father speaking to you and I. I don't know if you've ever thought of him speaking like this. We're just reading from the word. We would turn it around and say, well, they're the sort of things that we would say to the Father, that with one flash of his eye he undoes us with his love, that we are his beloved, and that he leaves us breathless and we're overcome by him, and just a glance from him steals our hearts. But yet he's saying that about you and I. That's the love that he has. That's the nature of his heart for you and I. When he looks at us, that shows just the sheer passion and the nature of his love and his heart towards you and I. Then he says, this is incredible. He says, I am held hostage by your love. I am held hostage by your love. I don't know what your response is to this morning, but mine is, and was earlier and last night when I was just praying, reading through some of this stuff. I was like, Father, my love is barren compared to yours for me. My love just falls so far short of how you're expressing your heart towards me. My love seems empty and shallow compared to what you're saying to me and how you're expressing your heart to me. Father, I just before you feel totally unworthy to even receive, to even reciprocate, to respond to the magnitude and the nature of your love. Father, because I seem to fail you so often, I don't seem to meet the mark, or I don't seem to be where sometimes I think I should be or want to be or whatever, and yet you speak to me in a way that is overwhelming. I don't deserve it. You just continue to pour your heart and your love out in such a way that I'm so undeserving. I can't meet that mark, and I can never get there in my own strength. I seem so shallow and so kind of distant. But yet your love draws me. You draw me, you draw me, you draw me. With your loving kindness, you draw me, you draw me, you draw me. As you speak in a way that sounds like you're intoxicated with me, you're overwhelmed with me. And my response is, God, if you're intoxicated with me, then I want you to intoxicate me with you. That everything within me cries out. Everything within me just cries out to you. Everything within me cries out in response to you, Father. If you speak to me in this way, or speak to us in this way, Father, do you find every one of us just that cry from our hearts is, Father, I want to know you in that intimate way. I want to know you in that way that the words from my lips would come out in the same way as the word from your lips comes to me. I don't deserve any of it, or I don't deserve you. But yet you speak with love that is unquenchable, love that can't be put out. This is what he says in verse 10 of chapter 4. How satisfying to me, my bride. Your love is my finest wine, intoxicating and thrilling. And your sweet perfume praises, so exotic, so pleasing. Your loving words are like the honeycomb to me. Your tongue releases milk and honey, for I find the promised land flowing within you. What he's saying is, I'm finding my life as I reach out and love you. I'm finding my life at work in you. It's my life flowing in you. It's who I am flowing in you. And I find me at work in you. And you're like a fragrance. Your worship is like fragrance, surrounding me with scented robes. That's what happens as we worship him. The fragrance of your worshiping love surrounds you with scented robes. My darling bride, my private paradise, fastened to my heart. A secret spring are you that no one else can have. My bubbling fountain hidden from public view. What a perfect partner to me now that I have you. Oh. God's love is unfailing. His heart for you is unrelenting. There's so much more we could read, so much more we could go through. This is speaking about his life that is at work in us right now. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spice. For many clusters of my exquisite fruit now grow within your inner garden. What he's speaking about is his life that is at work in us. The fragrance, the fruit, the very essence of his life at work in you and I, growing up, producing his life in us, his character in us, his nature in us, so that we're not just abiding in him, but he finds a place of abiding in us. The creator of heaven and earth, the ancient of days, who was and is to come. He finds a place of abiding in you and I, a resting place, a place where his very nature and life is being unfolded, expressed. How many of you know you're just meeting with the Lord this morning? I didn't know how this was going to come out today. I thought it was going to be a bit more of a message. I believe God wants to bring freedom into our lives. Freedom into our lives. Freedom into our lives. As we hear how he speaks to you and I, how he sees you and I, how he speaks into our life. On one level, I don't know, maybe you're feeling this morning like I was last night and this morning, just feeling totally, totally kind of like, God, I don't deserve you. I'm not good enough. I fall short so often in so many ways. But yet your word here just gushes. It just flows. It just pours. Your heart just flows. It's like an oil that is running down from your throne right into my life. That it's just never ending. It's relentless. Your love, your pursuit, your heart towards me, towards every one of us. towards every person in here that doesn't know you. If you don't know Jesus, you've never met him. You've never experienced him. You've never encountered him. This is how he sees someone that has come to know him. This is how he sees those that have responded to him. He wants such an intimacy with every person that is alive on the planet that his very nature and heart and very being kind of yearns and cries out for every person that is on the planet to know him as the living God. For many of us in this room, we've responded to him. We've had an embrace. We know him. We walk with him. We're hearing the very heart and nature and essence of who how he speaks and how he sees us. And he doesn't want any person to be left out. He doesn't want any person to be left out of a relationship with him in this way. Maybe you see God as far off. Maybe you see God as just a religious figure. Maybe you see him as just something that people talk about as out there somewhere. But yet, God is not far off. He is here right now. And he longs for your response to him. If you don't know him, you can respond to him today. You can say, God, if you're real, would you reveal who yourself to me? You might be experiencing something this morning already and you're like, well, I think God is real. Something's happening in here. I didn't expect church or this meeting or whatever to be like this. This is a bit different than I was expecting. But then God doesn't just want us to come and have church, as in rock up for a meeting, sing a couple of songs, listen to a message, hear a few other bits, and then we go home and get on with our lives. God wants a relationship with every person. This is what this is all about. It's not about form or religion or going through a service or having a meeting. It's all about having a relationship with the living God. It's about growing in a deeper relationship with the living God, with Jesus Christ, with who he is. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing him. It's about him knowing us. And how do we live that out in our lives? How do we walk with him in a challenging world, in a society that for many don't believe or acknowledge who God is? Christianity is about knowing God, about knowing him, having a relationship with him. That's what it's about. And he wants that for you if you don't know him today. And just to finish, we need to have communion just to respond to him. He says there's exquisite fruit that is grown within our lives, his life in us. Firstly, it talks about pomegranates of passion. What does that mean? It means a heart after God, a passion after him. Then it talks about henna from heaven. This is just keep reading through. This is chapter 4. Henna from heaven. The word henna there is God's mercy and redemption that is at work in us. That's part of one of the fruits of what he's doing in our lives. He's working his redemption, his mercy in our lives. Then it says spikenard, so sweet. Spikenard, that means light that is at work in us. A light that is so sweet. His light in us, the light of life that is at work in us. Then it talks about saffron shining. Saffron was a fragrance, an expensive perfume that was used to express love to another person. You would buy that kind of perfume to say that I love you, to express love towards them. And that saffron shining is like the fragrance of Christ, an expensive perfume. It's like his fragrance, the fragrance of Christ at work in us. Then it says a fragrant calamus from the cross. And calamus was a fragrant oil that was used. And the word calamus means to purchase or to redeem. And it talks about that redeeming fragrance of what the cross represents, of what Christ went through on and what he suffered, then hanging there on a cross. The fragrance that came up from the cross when he was hanging there, taking all our sin and pain and shame and everything that could separate us from him. It was a fragrance of redemption. It was a fragrance of purchasing our lives for him, taking us out of every death, every unforgiveness, every pain, every sickness, everything that could separate us. A fragrance that then rose up that says, I'm rescuing you, I'm purchasing you out of that and into who I am. Then the next fragrance or aroma that is growing in us is this one called the sacred cinnamon. It's an anointing oil. Anointing oil that was used in the tabernacle. And it represents holiness. That he is your holiness. He is my holiness. That the fragrance of his holiness is at work in you today. And another one is branches of scented woods. This was a fragrance that was used on the altar, on the golden altar. It was a scented woods. It was used as a fragrant offering. And it's like your life, as we worship him, as we seek after him, our lives are like a fragrant offering towards him, saying, Father, I want to walk with you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to walk in your truth. And as we seek to do that, it's like a fragrant offering goes up from our lives as a place of worship. And then it says, myrrh, like tears from a tree. This represents Christ's suffering on the cross. The myrrh represents the fragrance of suffering that he went through, like tears from a tree. But he suffered so that then, it says, the aloe of as eagles ascended. Aloe is a healing balm. So he suffered there with myrrh representing suffering oil, so that then we could come into that aloe of his healing balm, so that we could be healed, we could be made whole, we could be made one with him. So there's nothing that could separate you and I from him. And when he hung there on the cross, that aloe balm, that healing balm for salvation, for healing from sin, from sickness, from everything that could keep you out of his throne room and keep you out of his presence, was dealt with by him. And then he says, your life, let's stand together. He says, your life flows into mine, pure as a garden spring. A well of living water springs up from within you like a mountain brook flowing into my heart. I don't know what's been happening with you guys this morning. Hopefully it's not just been me up here reading something out of the Bible. I'm just amazed with his heart towards you and I. And then he says, just read, your life flows into mine. So it's not just his flowing into us. He's saying, as we respond to him and his life is at work in us, it's like our life then flows into him, pure as a garden spring. A well of living water springs up from within you like a mountain brook flowing into my heart. This is the kind of intimacy that God sees, wants, and is possible. Father, we're just overwhelmed. I don't know what's happening with you, but Father, I'm just overwhelmed with you this morning. Father, as we eat and drink, as we take communion this morning, as we receive the bread and the wine, and just as a kind of eating of you, drinking of you, Father, I just pray that as a church, we would become intoxicated with who you are. We wouldn't be intoxicated by the things that are out there in the world. We wouldn't be intoxicated by money, or intoxicated by things, or intoxicated by where we live, or intoxicated by our job, or intoxicated with stuff. That we'd be intoxicated with you, that you'd be the one that intoxicates us, that grips our hearts and lives. That you're the one that satisfies us like nothing else and nobody else. That, Father, as we receive communion, as we eat the bread and as we drink the cup, Father, I ask you by your Spirit, would you bring that Spirit kiss into everybody's life today? Would you just touch everybody's heart and life in this place today? That we'd be intoxicated, we'd be overwhelmed. At the same time as you kiss us, we'd be armed with your love, Father. That we'd live as a people of love, loving you, loving one another. No holds barred, with no restrictions, Father. That the limits would be off, the restrictions would be off, Father. That your love would flow like an intoxicating wine in our lives. In this church, Father, would you break everything that has tried to cause division, destruction, separation in anybody's lives, in any marriages, in any relationships, in any friendships, in any context, Father. Would you intoxicate us with your love, Father? Enter. The power of everything negative is broken off of our lives. So the flow of your kiss, the arming of your love, would just be flowing amongst us like the anointing oil of your Holy Spirit. You can start just to give out the bread and the wine. Just eat of him this morning. Eat of him this morning. Eat of him this morning. Just be overwhelmed with him this morning. Just be overwhelmed with him this morning. Be overwhelmed with him this morning. Let him intoxicate you. You don't have to try and do anything. Just be in his presence. Just be in his presence. Just be in his presence. Just let him intoxicate you. Let him intoxicate you with himself. Just draw on him. Breathe him in. As he breathes by his Spirit into you afresh this morning, just be intoxicated with his love, with him. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just thank him for his amazing love as you receive this morning. Just be overwhelmed with him. Thank you for his unfailing love, his never-ending love, his everlasting love. His love endures forever. It knows no limits. It knows no bounds. It knows no restrictions. His love flows like a mighty rushing river, like a force that cannot be hindered or restricted. His love flows in you. His love flows through you like a mighty rushing river flowing in your life today. Dealing with any shame or guilt or pain or anything like that. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
What's the chorus? Just sing that.
Let's just worship the Lord together. We're going to sing the chorus of this song. Maybe you want to just lift your hands. Just worship him.
Lifted high, exalted one, magnified, lifted high, exalted one, glorified.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, God's way of doing things can be so opposite to how we do things in the natural. We've all heard this phrase, probably, haven't we? To be armed with love. Maybe now we understand it a bit more. Armed with love. It's like the kiss. The spirit kiss. He's being armed with his love. Isn't that awesome? Father, we just thank you for how amazing you are. Just maybe let's just thank him all together. Thank you, Father, your amazing love and your goodness. You're amazing, Jesus. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. If you want to know what translation I've been reading from, it's called the Passion Translation. And what the guy's done, he's literally gone right back to the original language. And he's I know you can read Song of Solomon's, it's going to be a bit like, you know, what on earth does that mean, you know, when you read some of it. But what he's done is actually brought out the actual meaning of what the original text is, rather than doing a word-for-word translation, which if you know the original language, you would understand what some of the phrases in Song of Songs mean when it's written. But what he's done is unpacked it and put it in 21st century language to actually understand what exactly it means. So if you want to, you can get these online, the Passion Translation. But it's powerful. I just encourage you, maybe get a copy and just spend some time with the Lord, just reading it, spend time in his presence. God will start doing a bit of a number on you, because he wants intimacy with every one of us. Some of you might be saying, well, I'm a bloke, it wasn't particularly blokish this morning, you know, we're talking about being kissed, you know, but God's probably the most manly person there is in the universe, but yet probably the most gentle, intimate. And you know, just give a bit of space for him to do something more in our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.